Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with us for a while tonight. We have some comments from Deep Dana Thrombosis, the current White House spokesmodel. She pranced perkily out to the podium to cheerfully spew some unbelievable platitudes today about the morbid official death toll of U.S. combat troops in Iraq hitting 4,000 on Easter Sunday. She was incapable of saying what progress has been made or when the remaining living troops could come home or why al-Qaeda came to Iraq in the first place. But she did wag her manicured finger at Congress for not funding the war fast enough for the giggling killer. Oh, and she reminded us that Bush actually does care about each and every single death that he has caused. That's why he's intent on sending even more troops to kill and die. And Dick Cheney pointed out in, I believe he was in Israel, that every single death that has occurred of American personnel in Iraq has been the death of a volunteer. Someone who went voluntarily. Meaning, of course, therefore, that the person now dead is responsible for the fact that he or she actually is dead. It has nothing to do with U.S. foreign policy, nothing to do with George Bush, nothing to do with Dick Cheney, nothing to do with the Pentagon, nothing to do with anything but the willful volunteering of a soldier or a Marine to go to a war zone and is now dead. Think about that for a second. Consider how many people were in the military prior to Bush's order of an invasion and occupation in Iraq, and how many of that number is now dead. I've never seen two more cold-blooded anti-life killers like Bush and Cheney so cavalier about the ending of other people's lives. So, more troops have to go to Iraq. Yeah, you see, that's Bush's justification for continuing the bloodshed. So many have died already, got to make more dead to justify the first several thousand, and then more dead to justify them, and more for them, you see. Otherwise, we'll look weak. We'll play some of her comments for you tonight. From Michael Moore, friends, it would have to happen on Easter Sunday, wouldn't it, that the 4,000th American soldier would die in Iraq. Play me that crazy preacher again, will you, about how maybe God in all his infinite wisdom may not exactly be blessing America these days. Is anyone surprised? 4,000 dead. Unofficial estimates are that there may be up to another 100,000 Americans wounded, injured, or mentally ruined by this war, and there could be up to 1 million Iraqi dead. We will pay the consequences of this for a long, long time. God will keep blessing America. And where is Darth Vader in all this? A reporter from ABC News this week told Dick Cheney in regards to Iraq, two-thirds of Americans say it's not worth fighting. Cheney cut her off with a one-word answer. So? So, as in, so what? As in, F you, I could care less. I would like every American to see Cheney flip the virtual bird at them, the American people. The video is out there. Look at it, pass it around, and ask yourself why we haven't risen up and thrown him and his puppet out of the White House. The Democrats have had the power to literally pull the plug on this war for the past 15 months, and they have refused to do so. And what are we to do about that? Continue to sink into our despair or get creative? I know there are many of you reading this who have the chutzpah and ingenuity to confront your local member of Congress. Will you? Cheney spent Wednesday, the fifth anniversary of the war, not mourning the dead he killed, but fishing off the Sultan of Oman's royal yacht. So, ask your favorite Republican what they think of that. I see that Frontline on PBS this week has a documentary called Bush's War. That's what I've been calling it for a long time. It's not the Iraq War. Iraq did nothing. Iraq didn't plan 9/11. It didn't have weapons of mass destruction. It did have movie theaters and bars and women wearing what they wanted and a significant Christian population and one of the few Arab capitals with an open synagogue, but that's all gone now. Show a movie and you'll be shot in the head. Over 100 women have been randomly executed for not wearing a scarf. I'm happy, as a blessed American, that I had a hand in all this. I paid my taxes, so that means I helped to pay for this freedom we've brought to Baghdad. So, well, God bless me. Michael Moore. There's something else coming up on C-SPAN. You can get the information. It's called Body of War. It's a documentary. You can go to bodyofwar.com, bodyofwar.com. This weekend, Bill in California sent this to me. This weekend I saw Phil Donahue on C-SPAN discussing with Brian Lamb his forthcoming documentary, Phil Donahue's documentary, on the largely invisible tragedy of the thousands of maimed and wounded U.S. soldiers who were lucky or unlucky enough to survive, quote, quote, their life-mangling injuries in Iraq. The documentary is titled Body of War, and there's a website, bodyofwar.com. The documentary lays bare the various degrees of physical and psychic hell to which 30,000-plus U.S. boys and girls, the majority of them barely out of high school, have been delivered cluelessly and under false pretenses for the rest of their lives by the Bush-led catastrophe in Iraq. To give you an idea of the documentary's stark message, Phil Donahue, with Brian Lamb seemingly reluctant on camera consent, ran a clip of a young vet who has been left paralyzed from the chest down. The clip is narrated, humorously if you can believe that, by the young paraplegic himself, as his mother helps him with the daily insertion of a catheter into his penis to drain a bladder, which because of nerve damage, he has no control over. And Phil also ran a clip of a young soldier recounting, in not very humorous detail, how young soldiers, how they deal with or try to deal with permanent impotence from ruined nerves. Multiply these little scenarios by tens of thousands, and you have a pretty good picture of Bush and company's handiwork. Phil Donahue had the guts to put this heaviest of Bush condemnations together. I seriously doubt many Americans will have the guts to see it. It's pretty astonishing. But there is a new chapter of America's murderous enterprise in the Middle East that's coming. You know, you wondered where Cheney was. Cheney has been all over the place in the Middle East. He's been with the Israelis, the Omanis, if that's the proper way to say it, the Afghans, the Iraqis. He's been just a little butterfly fluttering all over the Middle East. Why? He's not the Secretary of State. He's not in the diplomatic corps. He is a warmongering son of a bitch. Do you suppose that there might be a clue there? Well, when we come back after the break, we'll share with you something that General Petraeus has said since Dick Cheney was in Iraq the other day. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We are redefining war on our terms.
Twenty-one past the hour. Okay, Cheney has been slinking around the Middle East. The press, of course, terrified to ask him anything. But wherever he's like so many members of the Bush crime family, whether it's Elliot Abrams or Negroponte or, well, the list goes on and on. Cheney, of course, is the lead ghoul. No matter where these people go, death and destruction trails in their wake, always and forever. Death and destruction follows these people around like the stench of death. America's top general in Iraq, David Petraeus, says he has evidence that Iran was behind the sustained bombardment of the heavily fortified Green Zone in Baghdad on Easter Sunday. Iran. Now, as our military correspondent Sharon points out, Petraeus never gives any evidence that the Iranians are behind the attack. But he says it. And who did he meet with last week? The Green Zone came under repeated attack during the day, Easter Sunday. Local security sources said 15 civilians were killed by rockets. General Petraeus says Iranian special forces are adding what he calls, quote, lethal accelerants, end quote, to a, quote, very combustible mix, end quote. Lethal accelerants to a very combustible mix. Well, then we may have to attack them. Petraeus said, quote, the rockets that were launched at the Green Zone on Easter Sunday were Iranian provided. Elements that are paid for. They are funded. They are trained. They've been equipped. And they've been directed, by and large, by the Iranian force, end quote. Well, then we better attack Iran quickly. Petraeus is saying that, the volatile mix of accelerants, interesting term, has been increased by the presence of Iranian weaponry and an attack on the so-called Green Zone. Meantime, an American nuclear sub has crossed the Suez Canal to join the U.S. fleet stationed in the Persian Gulf. That's according to Egyptian sources. Egyptian officials reported that the nuclear submarine crossed the canal along with a destroyer on Friday, and Egyptian forces were put on high alert. Why? When the Navy convoy was passing through the canal, why were they put on high alert? I mean, what? Well, I guess the dictator of Egypt has to pretend for his entrapped population. Oh, well, the Americans came through here, so, you know, we were on high alert. Yeah. Earlier last Thursday, U.S. Navy rescue ship crossed the canal to enter the Red Sea, a rescue ship. The deployment comes, according to, who am I quoting here? I think it's AFP, the French news agency. The deployment comes as recent reports allege that U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney is seeking to rally the support of Middle Eastern states for launching an attack on Iran. This is while U.S. officials deny that Cheney's Mideast tour is linked to a possible military attack on Iran. Of course, in recent months, a major part of our entire Navy has been deployed in and around Iran. It's very clear, is it not, that any attack on Iran is not going to be conducted with ground forces. That's simply American ground forces or Israeli ground forces or anybody's ground forces. This is going to be an aerial assault, and it's going to come as a result of all this floating hardware we have in the Persian Gulf. It's going to be conducted primarily by the Navy, but also by the Air Force. And it's going to be a son of a bitch. It is going to be mind-boggling. Do you think, Truth Seeker, that this is going to happen or not going to happen? Oh, by the way, the Pentagon Friday ruled out, including Admiral William Fallon, as a witness before Congress when the top U.S. military and diplomatic officials testify next month on what's happening in Iraq. Fallon has been told, you will not testify. Now, he announced last week that he was resigning effective March 31st. And in declaring that Fallon would not join David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker as a witness before Congress next month, a Pentagon press secretary said the decision had nothing to do with Fallon's views on Iran. No. Or the reasons that he unexpectedly resigned and went into retirement. No. None of that. But they are forbidding him from testifying. Do you think we're right on the verge of a nuclear attack on Iran? I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of America.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 21 or 25 before the hour. Military families speak out about the 4,000th troop death in Iraq. Military Families Speak Out is the largest organization of military families to oppose the war in the country's history. And as the sixth year of this insanity, pure insanity, Jesus God, will somebody just out of charity send me an email telling me what justifies this slaughter, this occupation? I'm talking about right-wingers. I would love to see what kind of gibbering insanity you can produce in an email. It continues. Military Families Speak Out is asking everyone in the country to stop and reflect on the human toll of this war. They're asking the Congress to reject Bush's request for another $70 billion to continue the war and instead appropriate all the funds needed to bring our troops home quickly and safely and take care of them when they get here. Celeste Zapala of Philadelphia, whose son was killed in Iraq in 2004, said, quote, every day an American family answers a knock at the door and hears their worst fears spoken, a casualty officer brings the news of death in Iraq and an end to all the hopes that family had for their loved one. Yet the war goes on, paid for by the Congress. In this election season, she continued, we hear a lot about leadership. Where are the leaders who will finally be brave enough to speak out for the absolute end of funding this disastrous war? End quote. The families of troops currently serving in Iraq have been watching the death toll rise as well, according to the press release from MFSO. Ellen Barfield is a U.S. Army veteran, member of Military Families Speak Out from Baltimore. She said, quote, 4,000 families now have a terrible hole which will never be filled, and so many more Iraqi families. With my sister having just deployed to Iraq, I am acutely aware of the horrors and dangers she faces. As a veteran myself and an activist, I have not been able to turn away, as so many other citizens can. I don't know. I seriously wonder what it will take. You know, back in during the Vietnam era, even though that war went on and on and on, eventually media turned against it. The anchor Walter Cronkite for CBS News, who was the uncle of everybody in this country, black, white, gay, straight, Jew, Gentile, everybody watched what Walter had to say. Sometimes Huntley and Brinkley, but it was Walter who was our national uncle, and he declared the war lost. Can you imagine? Think about this for a second. Any of the current crop of readers, teleprompter readers on the networks or any place saying the same thing about Iraq? Can you imagine Brian Williams saying it? Can you imagine Katie Couric? And who's the guy on ABC? Whatever. Can you imagine one of them looking into the camera and saying, listen, this war is lost? Yeah. As far as members of Congress, Republicans, for the most part, if not 100%, at least 98%, couldn't care less. They don't serve. They've never served. They shall never serve. They're useless. Of the Democrats in Congress, a few of them have served in the military or have relatives who are there now, shanghaied, dragooned into this filthy war that Dick Cheney says, well, they're all volunteers. Everybody's over there. All the dead people are dead volunteers. They died voluntarily. It's a volunteers war. We don't have a draft. So they're all dead. Well, they're all volunteers. So what? 4,000? 12,000? So? 75% of the American public. Screw the American public. Come on, Martha. Get in the game. So? So? On the grim milestone of the official U.S. death toll of 4,000 lost. Too much Cappuccino Perino had some things to say today. The first reporter asked Doublespeak Dana, Dana, the 4,000 U.S. deaths in Iraq, does the president regard that as a significant milestone? What does it mean to him?
President Bush thinks that every single loss is tragic, from the very first several years ago to the ones that sacrificed yesterday.
All right, we have a, as they say in the business, a little technical difficulty. We have, we'll get back to it in a second. But Dana came out today and tried to insinuate that George W. Bush literally, actually cares about every single death. That he pauses in his daily routine and bows his head and thanks his Lord and Savior for yet one more blood sacrifice to the great God, death and destruction and oil. And just the thought of the enormity of that lie is enough to turn your stomach if you are the least bit civilized. I don't care what your political affiliation is at this point. Surely to God, just common, run-of-the-mill, ordinary Republicans are freaked out by this too. Aren't you? My God. All right, let's try again. The reporter says, Dana, does the president regard the 4,000 as a significant milestone, and what does it mean to him?
The president said every single loss is tragic, from the very first several years ago to the ones that sacrificed yesterday. And he's extremely proud of the courageous men and women in uniform and all that they've done to help protect Iraqis, to protect each other, and to protect this country. Most of the families of the fallen that he meets with have one request of the president, which is, do not let my loved one's sacrifice be in vain. And the president assures them that he is committed to staying and fighting and winning. And but he definitely feels the loss. He gets a report about every single soldier who passes away.
Oh, please.
And he always pauses a moment to think about them and
please.
To offer a prayer for their loved ones and their family and friends.
Aren't there also families of the bereaved who ask him to stop the war?
There have been, but the vast majority have all asked him not to allow that sacrifice to be in vain. But certainly there are some.
Can you say that with certainty?
He has said that repeatedly.
Yeah, well, that was Bill Plant from CBS News who's saying, aren't there also families of the bereaved who have asked him to stop the war? Oh, yeah. Lavalip says, maybe one or two, but you know the vast majority, they just want more slaughter. And when the can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? She says most of the families of the fallen that he meets have one request of the president, which is, do not let my loved one's sacrifice be in vain. Is Dana expecting us to believe that the parent is saying, my kid is dead, please make more kids dead too, Mr. Bush, so that mine didn't die in vain. Kill more. Kill more. Keep the killing going. As long as the killing is going, then I don't have to face the fact, Mr. President, that you filthy son of a bitch, murdered my son. Keep the killing going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Is that what Perino wants us to believe? Does she really want us to believe that he gets a report about every single soldier who, as she says, passes away? No, Dana, they don't pass away. Pass away is what happens to your grandmammy when she's 92 years old, lying in her deathbed and sucks in her last breath. That's passing away. These people are blown into chunks of meat and bone and brain tissue and eyeballs and hands and guts and blood. They don't pass away, Dana. I know it's hard for you to think in those terms, but they don't pass away. No soldier has ever passed away in a combat zone. They have been killed. And in this one, Dana, that means blown to pieces for the most part. Their head over here, their legs over there, and brain tissue in between. That's not blown away. It's not passed away. I hate this woman. I cannot stand her. We'll be right back.
Not for voting, you don't believe in war. floorboards and gun you're toting, and even the Jordan River has bodies.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 10 before the hour. God, I'm so sick of war songs or anti-war songs. Another reporter asks too much Cappuccino Perino about the oft-repeated claim concerning the fight against Al-Qaeda in Iraq. You know, got to fight them there, we'll fight them here. Can't these people be the least bit creative? That's what they told us about those Vietnamese Cong people. Remember that? That's what they said about the Sandinistas. Remember that? Got to fight them here, we'll fight them there, we'll fight them here. Remember? Remember? The reporter says, Dana, you mentioned the brutal enemy in Iraq. To what extent was that enemy present before the U.S. invaded?
You know, there's a report last week that came out from the Defense Department that I refer you to, which is, had lots of experts and providing input, and it's detailed all throughout there. There's no doubt that Saddam Hussein was a state sponsor of terrorism. So let me refer you to that report. It's quite detailed.
But Al-Qaeda wasn't in Iraq. In its current form,
no, but let me refer you to that report, and I think they have some very interesting information in there.
Do you think that Iraq, 5 years later, is the region more or less safe 5 years later?
Okay. What we know is that we are facing brutal enemies across the world, but mainly focused in this area where Al-Qaeda has decided to make Iraq the central front in the war on terrorism.
And why is that, Dana? Why has, quote, Al-Qaeda, end quote, decided to make Iran the central front in the war on, quote, terrorism, end quote? Why? Why is that? You think it has anything to do with Bush's invasion and occupation? You think, Dana, maybe, huh? She says there's no doubt that Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld is a state sponsor of terrorism. She almost says that. And it's okay. You can go ahead and say it, Dana. We all know Rummy sold those weapons to Saddam and supported his invasion of Kuwait. Come on. Everybody knows it except you, Lava Lips. You don't know squat, do you? So what is Raisin Brain's plan for Iraq now that the surge phase is, over? The troops on the ground fear that when they leave, the violence will return to pre-surge levels or worse. So a reporter asked the ditzy chick, Dana, on Iraq, talking to some soldiers on the ground there, they're saying that, yes, the surge and more equipment have definitely made things better, but once the troops redeploy, it's still a major question as to if the Iraqis can police themselves. There is concern on the ground that once they're gone, all hell is just going to break loose again.
All of those questions that you just brought up are good ones, and ones that General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker will have input, have their experience to be able to provide their input to the president. So we've got to keep our commitment to the Iraqis, make sure that our troops are fully funded. That's one of the things that Congress is going to have to deal with when they come back from their most recent recess, is get our troops funded so that we can make sure that all the training that we're doing is solidifying, and that the Iraqis can then take care of themselves. But it's going to take a while.
What's a while? One mile?
I can't.
100 years? 20 years? I mean, you're here in the
April, look, I think that if you look at the facts for themselves and how many provinces they've been able to take over, the progress that they've been able to make, the sacrifices that the Iraqis are making. The Iraqis are serving right alongside with us, and they're we're helping to improve their training. So they're making progress, but I can't tell you how long it's going to take.
That was in response to the reporter. You couldn't hear her. She's Perino says it's going to take a while. The reporter said, what's a while? Can you qualify a while? I can't. 100 years? 20 years? And then Dana says, April, look, I think that if you look at the facts of themselves, see how many provinces they've been able to take. Okay, last one before the Danality of evil had to go through more raw meat near the mouth of Cheney's undisclosed location. Yeah, she's the one that drew the short straw today. Anyway, Victoria Jackson, the reporter, says, Dana, on Iraq, according to the AP, 97% of the American deaths have happened after President Bush declared major combat ended. In retrospect, does he think perhaps he was premature in doing that?
It's possible for me to answer that question, Victoria. Did he know how many soldiers would give the ultimate sacrifice in this war? No, but that was impossible to know. And he mourns every single loss. And he thinks that the right thing to do is to take the fight to this enemy. It's a brutal enemy that's determined not to just kill our soldiers, but to kill all of us. And our soldiers are there bravely fighting to make sure that we're protected.
So does he think he was premature in declaring major combat ended?
In terms of, well, he said that before, Victoria. I just told you that he has publicly said in January of 2005, he thought he was soon going to be able to announce that troops would be coming home. But what we know that Al Qaeda and sowed terrible violence and stoked sectarian flames.
Oh God!
Therefore, we had to regroup and we listened to our commanders on the ground. That's what listening to your commanders on the ground is all about. You have to remain flexible. And you have to trust them, and you have to then make your decisions based on your best judgment after you get briefings, which is what he's doing now.
And if he doesn't like what he hears, he fires them. That's very simple. Don't you get it, Victoria Jackson? You have to listen to your commanders on the ground unless they say, Mr. Bush, this is an absolute mistake. And if they say that, well, you fire them. You get rid of them. Or they voluntarily go into early retirement. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. How many flag rank generals and now an admiral have quit, have said, this is insanity? Or who have said, oh, I think I want to go spend more time with my family. I'm out of here. How many people have gone, top-ranked military officers who understand war the way George Bush understands how to do a line of cocaine? Or the way Dick Cheney knows how to plug himself into the nearest electrical outlet and get recharged? Those guys, those generals, those high-ranking admirals, lieutenant generals, brigadiers even, they're gone. They're out of there. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. All right, we've driven away half of our audience tonight, Kathy, with the too much cappuccino perino sound bites. But what the hell? I mean, if we have to suffer, so does our audience. No, you guys got to understand, man. That's you're not going to hear that on network radio or television. I don't know where you're going to hear it. Jack writes in, good evening, Mike. The flotilla of military might, which the Bush junta has stationed off the coast of Iran, isn't there merely as a show of force. They'll most likely be used in phase, F-A-Z-E, phase two of Bush's Axis of Evil tour. Yet more shock and awe. This time on Iran, which will undoubtedly be nuclear. All that the American people can do now is sit back and watch. It's out of our hands. Is there a God? Jack asks. Nietzsche, to the contrary, notwithstanding, is there a God? Jack writes, perhaps he'll intervene and put an end to this madness. But I doubt it. Jack. Roz writes in, Mike, I know you're sick of this topic. So am I. But I'm bound to say that after the two-facedness of Cheney's insulting remarks the other day about wanting to finally see peace between Palestine and Israel, some authority somewhere has just got to stand up and say enough. The U.S. administration is without a doubt the last ones on earth qualified to bring these two peoples together. They openly back Israel. Cheney said so without hesitation, so the hypocrisy should be noted and remarked upon by all other interested parties. I was so angry listening to that swine speaking while all the other toadies grinned in that disgusting way. Can there be any doubt that the next U.S. White House will still be, quote, a great friend to Israel, end quote? They're simply sickening, and I hope the Palestinians tell Bush and company where they can stick their so-called great peace plan. Cheney should disappear down the sewer where he belongs. Mike, these last few days have provided the most maddening news I have heard yet, including Cheney's insensitive so when asked about the war. Roz from the Great White North. All right, we would like to have you get online now if you'd like to. We're going to take some calls. It is Monday. I usually don't get cranked to an insane, hysterical level until Wednesday. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. And when I do get cranked to that insane, hysterical level, it's very difficult for people to call in because they sit back and say, this man is out of his mind. There's no point in calling. The ugliness coming out of the Clinton campaign is it's astonishing. I always knew that Carville, who I happen to know because he and Paul Begala were very successful in getting Zell Miller elected governor here in Georgia. But the raging Cajun has really flipped, referring to Bill Richardson's endorsement of Barack Obama as Judas-like, and nice time to say that too, right? Over the Easter holiday. So if Bill Richardson is Judas, and Oberman asks us tonight, who then is Christ in Carville's little scenario? But to say that because Bill Richardson makes what I'm sure Richardson considers to be an informed decision, he's a Judas. Wow. Carville, you used to be so entertaining to me. I used to laugh my ass off. He was like the Hunter Thompson of CNN or someplace. But everything is just flying to pieces here in this Clinton campaign. The horrendous lie she told about ducking her head because of sniper fire when she arrived in, where was it, Bosnia? Is that where it was? And then they happen to have a video that shows up, and there's no ducking of anything. There is a tarmac greeting with a little 10-year-old girl presenting her with flowers. And then Clinton herself says, excuse me, I misspoke. All four times she referenced that little non-incident. This is awful. This is what you expect out of Bush. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, Clinton, Bush, Clinton. Never mind.
This is what bothers me about that a little bit, is that the ease of which the misstatement just flows from her lips. Now, there's two possible answers. She lied on purpose. She knew what she was saying was garbage. Or she honestly was deluded and had the whole incident confused with something else.
Well, there's a third.
Something in her mind. And either way, I don't like the answer.
There's a third answer, and that is that she just considered her various audiences who have heard her say this to have no way of checking. You know, somebody ought to tell Hillary. Hillary is, she's not as old as I am, but she's getting up there. Somebody ought to tell Hillary, like they had to tell George Herbert Walker Bush all those years ago, that there was a thing at supermarkets called an automatic price scanner, and the UPC, universal pricing code, was not the mark of the demon or Satan, but it was a way for stores to keep track of their inventory. Honest to Christ, that's all it is. But Pappy Bush had not a clue. Maybe Hillary needs to be told, Hillary, nothing you've ever said cannot be dragged out and presented to the American public for examination. Everything is exhumable now. Everything. There is nothing that can be said on television or radio that cannot be exhumed. So she should stop. Why is she doing this? Why? What is the point in coming up with these lies? What the? And then having Carville out there saying that Bill Richardson is like Judas. And then there's this. I know Matt Drudge likes to take credit for publishing the photo of Barack Obama in village garb. But Matt Drudge is a lying son of a bitch, just a piece of offal from the Republican Party. The picture really was first published last May by The Globe. Now, that is a scandal-mongering celebrity gossip tabloid. And then they republished the picture the following September in the National Examiner, which is owned by the same company. Skeeter Sanders, writing at Op-Ed News, provided all this information today. Along with the photograph, The Globe published false claims that the Illinois senator is a Muslim, when in fact he is a Christian. I think everyone knows that now. The Globe also tried to make hay with Obama's admission in his autobiography, Dreams of My Father, that he used marijuana while he was a teenager. But the tabloid attempts to smear Obama didn't stop there. Since that time, The Globe ran a story in which a Minnesota man claims he had a gay sexual relationship with Obama in 1999, and that the Illinois senator smoked crack cocaine. Oh, these filthy bastards, huh? Get them on the gay sex thing. Get them on the crack thing. What else? Did you know that Barack and Michelle Obama took their first baby when it was a year old and sliced it in all kinds of pieces, dried the meat, and ate it? You didn't know that? At the same time, another of the Globe's sister tabloids, the National Enquirer, claimed that, among other things, quote, Obama's amazing appeal to women has ignited shouting matches between the senator and his wife, Michelle, end quote. The Enquirer, also citing a top Chicago private investigator, whom we're not allowed to name, insinuated that Obama had something to do with the murder last December of the choir director of Obama's church in Chicago. Sex? Gay sex. Drugs? Hard drugs. Murder. Murder in a church. Now, there is a connection here that I'll share with you coming back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone.
You will rise to a greater power. We will win ourselves a home. You will get the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Oh, you.
Laura Pigglesbush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
21 past the hour. All right, so these tabloid publications, The Globe, The National Examiner, National Enquirer, with their stories about Barack Obama having gay sex while he was married. See, there's nothing wrong with gay sex, but like any kind of sex, if you're already married, unless it's with your partner, your spouse, or if you're registered partners or in a committed relationship, whatever the hell it is, since we have these weird ideas, it doesn't make any difference if it's gay or not gay. You know, if you're committed to somebody else and you go have sex with a third party, well, that's not really nice. But you see, drop in the gay thing and, oh, holy God! Smokes crack, gay sex, shouting matches with his wife. But more seriously, Barack Obama had something to do with the murder last December of the choir director of Obama's church in Chicago, according to the Inquirer. Now, supporters of Barack Obama claim they don't know who's behind all of this. Well, who was it that said follow the money? It turns out that American Media Incorporated, which is the parent company of the Inquirer, the Globe, and the Examiner, the parent company, American Media, is in turn controlled by something called Evercore Partners, whose founder, chairman, co-CEO, and, principal owner is, Roger Altman, a prominent New York investment banker. But Altman is also a former deputy treasury secretary in Bill Clinton's administration and a key economic advisor of Hillary Clinton's campaign for the White House. No. Oh, goddamn you, Malloy. You're going to insinuate now that there's a connection, aren't you? You Hillary hater, you misogynist, you hate women, don't you? You beat your wife, don't you? The Inquirer, in dramatic fashion, published a story in its March 17th issue that was like, oh wow, a week ago, claiming that Obama may have had something to do with the murder last December of Donald Young, the choir director of, oh, this looks familiar, Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago, where Obama has been a member for more than 20 years. Wait, oh yeah, same place, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, holy Toledo, or Chicago, or the 47-year-old Donald Young was found dead in his Southside apartment 2 days before Christmas, the victim of multiple gunshot wounds. A spokesperson for the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office would say only that Young's death was ruled a homicide, and the Chicago police were investigating the incident. The murder of Mr. Young, here it comes, who was openly gay, led to fears in Chicago's gay community that his death was an anti-gay hate crime. But, the Inquirer, citing a, quote, top Chicago private investigator, end quote, that the tabloid refused to identify, claimed that Mr. Young, quote, was silenced, end quote, because of something he knew about Barack Obama! So, why would the editors of the Inquirer, the Globe, the Examiner, and Mr. Altman, all these Altman-controlled tabloids, publish these allegations without a shred of evidence to back them up, or anyone willing to go on the record? Why would they be doing this? Oh, I know, they're just supermarket tabloids. Any moronic halfwit standing in a supermarket checkout line who buys one of these deserves to be told that there are aliens living up their anuses and that they come out at night and put jelly beans in their nose, and that's why they keep waking up and can't get a good night's sleep. But, Mr. Altman, you see, is an advisor to the Clinton campaign. Really? But that doesn't mean anything, Mike. Oh. Roger Altman declined to be interviewed for the article from which I'm quoting. Oh, by the way, Altman's Inquirer also published a story late last year that another Clinton rival for the Democratic presidential nomination, former Senator John Edwards of North Carolina, allegedly had an extramarital affair, a claim that Edwards denounced as totally false. The Inquirer, as it often does in its celebrity gossip stories, cited anonymous emails from the unnamed woman allegedly involved with Edwards sent to yet another unnamed source. Oh, my God. Well, the terrible part of that story is it appears to be heterosexual sex, which can only mean one thing. It can only mean that somebody at the Globe, Inquirer, Examiner forgot to put in the word gay. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
critique is in my head. The lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Before the hour. If you want to check out some more of Skeeter Sanders' writings, he has a blog site, SkeeterBitesReport.com. SkeeterBitesReport, S-K-E-E-T-E-R, SkeeterBitesReport.com. I just simply don't, you know, between Skeeter Bites' report about the attack on Obama, the tabloid attack, and network news today with the obvious implication that Hillary Clinton is lying, or the obvious proof, I guess, about landing at the, was that in Bosnia? With her daughter, Chelsea, and nobody was dodging bullets. I don't think anyone in her entourage even had on a bulletproof vest. As a matter of fact, if you look at the video, you see a woman coming behind Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton carrying a huge boom mic that must go up about 8 or 10 feet into the air, which would make a perfect target, wouldn't it? At least would indicate where the principal targetee would be, right beneath the boom mic. No, none of this went on. None of it. Why? Why is she doing this? I don't quite get this. The lies that are coming directly from the candidate now, not from her surrogates, but they're coming directly from her. And the attacks that are being leveled against Obama that are coming from her surrogates, Bill Clinton is getting so close to just ripping the what I'm sad to say is a typical white man's approach to the black, a white issue. A white man who has presented himself as being so close to black folk.
Oh, yeah, I can go into black churches and I can sing. I was brought up on those hymns. I know how to do that. I really do. And Hillary and I,
all of that. I've seen this so many times. And I'm certain it's certainly not unique in my, just to my experience. So many times, a white person who forget whether they're liberal or conservative, but they present themselves as being a person who deeply understands and empathizes with the black experience to the point where some people get fooled and start saying things like, well, you may look white, but you have the soul of a black person. And that white man, and it's always a man, okay, not always, 98% of the time, I just picked that figure out of the air, that white man will stand there and say, yeah, well, you know, I understand all this. I really do. I may be white on the outside, but whoever said I was the first black president is pretty close. And then there comes that moment when all of a sudden that gets peeled back. And what do you see? You see Bill Clinton as he is now, and his attacks on Barack Obama that are designed, like he did over the weekend with a room full of middle-aged white guys. They are designed to very slyly and coyly slip that fear of the black man back into that white audience's head. Now, wait a second here. Before you start thinking that everything's all right, just because Barack Obama, speaks well and he's clean, let me tell you something now. Don't forget who he is. Don't forget. Just want. I don't know. I'm just so loose in it. There was a point over the past 10 years. I remember when they went after Clinton. I was a raving madman trying to defend him on WLS in Chicago, which was part of the reason I had to part company with them. Because of my defense of Bill Clinton, during the Monica Lewinsky thing. Over the past 10 years, I've gone from not particularly liking most of his legislative accomplishments. You know what I mean by that. The ones he signed off on. I don't mean he was a legislator. You know what I mean. From not liking most of his accomplishments to actively starting to dislike him as a human being. I always thought, well, Bill Clinton may not have been someone I would have that I have thought did a good job for America by any stretch of the imagination. But he was somebody you could sit around and have a bowl of chitlins with and a couple of cold brews and maybe a chicken wing or something like that. You know what I'm saying? and some grits and greens. Not anymore. And Hillary, I always thought Hillary was kind of slumming it, but okay. She was slumming at marrying Bill, not to put Bill down intellectually. He's brilliant. But moving to Arkansas for Hillary Clinton? Ooh. But all of a sudden, it's just changing inside of me. I've just become actively contemptuous of these two. And I hate this because this puts me in the same camp as Larry Klayman and all these other piglets who spent so many years trying to gut the Clintons on nothing. I don't know why she's doing this. I don't know why she's doing this. I don't know why her husband's doing this. I don't know what the plan is. And of course, it's none of my damn business. But I'm a voter, and I'm a Democrat. And I'm probably going to be one of those Democrats who just takes a hike on Election Day. I've never done it. I have not done it since 1960. 64? Let's get some phone calls here. As promised, Jay is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing? I just want to say, I feel our government is under evil forces right now, and I think Barack Obama is under character assassination, and I also feel it's not physical in the future. And I just want you to understand that this right wing, which is an oxymoron in itself, and it's not right at all, they have no soul. They don't have any compassion. And we have to reckon with this because you have to realize, like I called you years ago, Mike, because I talked to you for years, Mike.
Mm-hmm, right.
Revelations 2:18, Jesus had hair like sheep's wool and feet like burnt brass. We know this. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's in the Bible. They might have changed it recently, but, when I look around in Sacramento, I don't see hardly any white people in Sacramento, okay? We are changing demographically. We have to come to grips with this. And just like a white guy said to me in the 60s, he said, look, James, he says, I'm ashamed of my race, the way they treat other people. It's like black and brown against white. We cannot be like that, Mike. And I just, it just bothers me to think that we're headed in the wrong direction, okay?
Well, I hear you. I hear you, Jim.
And, I just had so much to say about this, and we have to do something about this, and I really don't know what else to say, Mike. I appreciate your service on the radio. I feel bad about the whole situation. I'm half black and half white. I get the ends of both ends, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember that we're here together as one, okay? And we're going to have to make this work. It can't be Islam against Christianity, Jews against Christianity. It can't be all that. We have to work together to work this out, Mike.
I hear you.
And I just want you to talk to me. Sometimes I feel so lonely here in all this madness. And I also feel that We're being, our agenda, the progressive agenda, is being dictated by the right wing. We're not talking about the economy. We're not talking about the right wing. We're talking about some secondhand information from a reverend. You got me? So, you know, that's not relevant to what Obama is talking about. Yeah, he attended the church. I've attended several churches myself, even though Jesus was mad with the church. He was upset with the church. Read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mm. He threw over four tables, Mike.
Right, I understand. Upset. I understand, and okay. I agree with you. I agree with you, Jay, that the way the mainstream...
He was a revolutionary. He wasn't up... You know, these people have sold their soul. They... You know, you got to remember what the Bible says. It will be easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven.
I hear that loud and clear, Jay. Always have, and I do. I'm of course a full blown atheist. I don't believe in heaven any more than I believe in hell. I don't believe in spooks and haints running around up in the clouds. I just don't follow any of that nonsense. But I know what you're saying. As far as the race thing is concerned, you know, I had hoped, and I said this on the air, that aside from being a good administrator, a good CEO, that Barack Obama, his candidacy and eventual election would demonstrate that this country has to a certain degree, not even where it should be, but to a certain degree had moved past that essential race void between the blacks and whites. And I'm only talking about blacks and whites. I realize there are other racial groups here, but I'm talking about blacks and whites. That Barack Obama inadvertently would be kind of a healing agent. That white people would say, well, okay, wait a minute. You know, I hear what this man is saying. I hear his message. I'm going to vote for him. And that somehow whites would transcend. But there was also a part of me, and those of you who listen to the program on a regular basis, you know I've been talking about this, that little fear in the background, like, uh-huh, well, everybody's voting for him in primary, making themselves feel good in their little white hearts. But when the rubber meets the road, watch out, watch out, watch out.
Better than I am. I'm trying to find a way to understand, but I need you.
I'm thrilled to be here in the breadbasket of America because it gives me a chance to remind our fellow citizens that we have an advantage here in America. We can feed ourselves.
Well, some of us can. Back to your phone calls here. Sandra is calling from Berkeley, California, listening to Sirius. Sandra,
hi, Mike.
Hi, welcome to the program.
It's good to talk to you again. I'm just thinking about, you know, first of all, I think there's going to be a big backlash, and I think people are so sick and tired of the, you know, professional politicians. But, you know, you think if you were professional, you could not get caught in lies, you know.
Right.
But people are so sick of it that I used to feel so sorry for Hillary Clinton, too, that all that stuff was happening years ago and how they went at the Republicans went after her. And, of course, I don't feel sorry for her anymore. But it's even more than that. I don't understand her. I don't understand why a mother who has a child, like I do,
mm-hmm.
does she not care what her daughter thinks of her? Does she not care? I mean, I grew up in a time when your honor was pretty much the most important thing you have,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like it means nothing in this country anymore. You can lie, you can cheat, you can steal. Remember the expression, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game?
Oh, does that sound like so 19th century?
Yeah, but you know what? I think that there's a lot of people in this country that feel like it's not so 19th century, and they're sick and tired of what's going on in this country. And whether or not Barack Obama gets to be president, I feel like I'm living in the French Revolution. I feel like that people are, you know.
Well, you know what came after the revolution was the terror, and you know how long the terror went on, and how many people heard the. Heard the swish of the guillotine. There were thousands upon thousands of people after the French Revolution who who were executed for no reason at all. I just wonder what the hell is going to happen here if we have Democrats, and I'm displaying some naivety here on a grand scale, but if we have Democrats who can tell these kinds of lies with a smile on her face. I watched the video. I watched her stand there and once again say, you know, well, we got off the plane and there was sniper fire and we had to duck our heads and run. And then the video comes up and there's nothing like that. And then she corrects herself after the video. Like I said, somebody needs to tell Hillary Clinton that there is nothing you can say, nothing she can say, that cannot be proven true or false in how long? 20 minutes? However long it takes to search YouTube or do a LexisNexis search? Boom! There it is. Someone needs to let her know that technology is available.
Well, and maybe that's what it is, that when all this stuff happened to her husband, the technology wasn't quite where it is now. And, you know, you could almost get away with lies for days and weeks. I mean, hey, the Bush administration did it for 7 years, practically.
Well, that's,
you know,
true. That's true.
And so by blocking the airways and stuff, so maybe she thinks it's still that time. But what she doesn't understand is that there is no, that nothing is stagnant. Things either go forward or they go back. Nothing stays stationary. And it's, things are moving forward. And she's not on the train. And, you know,
I don't really
understand it. I feel the same way as you. I'm completely bewildered by her. But I've already decided to vote for Obama, and I decided to do that because, I already voted for Obama, and I decided to do that because I think he can bring this country together. And you think, from being a mother and caring, if she cared about the world or the country at all, she would want what's best for her country, just like I do.
Yeah.
And that really disturbs me also.
No, I completely understand. Sandra, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. And what Sandra says is so true. You know, when this lie was revealed today, it just occurred to me in a flash, and this really was a heavy load on my back, because I've said before, whoever the Democratic Party nominee is, that's who I'm going to vote for. I'm starting to question that now, because we have had nothing but lies. Nothing but lies. I don't mind a politician maybe bending the truth a little bit to put a certain spin on it, taking the truth and kind of stretching it. Like if Hillary said, when we landed on that airfield, I had the thought that there might be snipers around, and I had the thought that maybe I ought to duck my head and cover my daughter and make a run for it. That clearly indicates the fact that Hillary Clinton, as the first lady back then, knew that she was in a danger zone. But it's not a lie. And I've had so goddamn many lies from this Bush administration. There is no truth in anything they've said. So if I hear Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, I don't care who it is, lying, it turns my stomach. And I don't mean that as a figure of speech. It makes me physically ill, because who do I have left to turn to politically as a voter in this country if not someone who represents the Democratic Party? And I can hear you cynics out there right now go, oh, Christ, Malloy, you're still on that kick? You're still willing to turn to the Democrats? Yeah. That is pretty pathetic, isn't it? But that's the thing about Hillary's lies, or lie, singular, plural, I don't care. That's the thing about these nasty, crappy, just hideous attacks on Barack Obama. I don't care if it's Barack Obama or Edwards or some three-armed, stump-toed dwarf that's running around eating trees. I don't care who it is. Don't lie. Don't make stuff up. Why don't these people understand the truth is brutal enough? Don't talk to me about, did Barack Obama murder the choir director in his church, for God's sake. And don't put it out in the tabloid press where it's going to be read by people who demographically are more inclined to support Hillary Clinton than Barack Obama. Don't do it, Hillary. Because that makes you just as vile and covered in filth as any Republican. Please don't do it. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. A couple of emails, then we'll go back to your phone calls. Graham writes in, how about telling a few of Obama's lies? Be fair. You could start with all the lies he has told about Exelon. But you don't list any, emailer. If you'll list them for me, I'll be happy to get to it. I'm not familiar with Exelon. I don't know what that is. But if you'll send me some links or in your own words, I'll be happy to bring up Obama's lies. I don't care who's telling the lie. Well, the insinuation here, I think, is that I would cover up Barack Obama's lies because I'm a Barack Obama supporter. Let me say it again. I am not a Barack Obama supporter. I am not a Hillary Clinton supporter. I'm a Democrat. I would like to see the Democratic Party as I remember it, which this is where I lose it, and it all becomes like a bad acid trip. The Democratic Party, the way I remember it in theory, for Christ's sake, I can't even say the way I really remember it. Democratic Party ideals. Is there a Democrat who still believes that? Is there a liberal who will step up and say, I am a liberal? Not progressive, not mainstream, not centrist, a liberal! Man, it's only Monday, Kathy, and I'm screaming already. But, you know, your email was just very close to insinuating that I will expose the lies of Hillary Clinton and not the lies of Barack Obama. Send me a list of his lies, and I'll do it in a heartbeat. Lynn writes, Mike, two observations. A, when Hillary found out that she had not sewn everything up on February 5th, I think they decided to go Rovian because they had seen it work on Kerry. They had no idea how to handle Obama except to swift boat him. B, Hillary does not come over as a savvy, mature, disciplined, intellectual grown-up. She comes across as a defensive, immature, somewhat nutty, reasonably smart woman who thinks she's better than she is. I once saw a video, Lynn writes, of her on a campaign bus, and she did something really weird when talking about Vogue. It was more like a teenager being hip. It was quite revealing. Mary writes in, Mike, what Hillary is doing is very familiar to me. I believe she has a personality disorder. She could be sociopathic, narcissistic, borderline, histrionic, or a combination of any of those. People who have any of these disorders can be absolutely ruthless, too self-absorbed to follow the contradictions in their successive statements, and can lie at times for no real purpose except self-aggrandizement. She's tripping herself up in a typical way that a personality disordered person would, leaving everyone else scratching their heads in puzzlement. Personally, Mary writes, I'm convinced that this is her problem. It gives me chills to think that she could become our next president and carry on the tradition of having a disturbed person in that office. Yeah, I hate it. I told you, the people listen to this program on a regular basis. Kathy and I met, had occasion to chat in a private setting. Not just Kathy and I and Hillary Clinton, but Kathy and I and Hillary and about three other people. And we both came away. This was, I don't know what, Kathy, 4 years ago. We both came away from that kind of scratching our heads thinking it was 7 years ago. Oh, okay. We both came away from that kind of scratching our heads like, what was that? And personal opinion, I mean impressions, first impressions. Who said it? You can't make a good you can't make a good first impression the second time you meet somebody. What's that saying?
Fool me once.
No,
it's stop. You only have your first chance to make there's no second chance to make a first impression or something.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying.
You're about as clear on it as I am. But you know, I'm no Hillary Clinton expert. I couldn't care less about any of these politicians. I really couldn't, except for one reason. They're going to lead my country. And unless I want to move out of here, unless I want to take my kid and my grandchild, my wife, anybody else, and leave, I've got to live here. Is it too much to ask to have someone who will be truthful in the Oval Office? If it's not Hillary Clinton, Hillary supporters, kiss my butt. If it's not Barack Obama, Obama supporters, you get in line and do the same. I don't give a damn about these candidates. Except I know that one of them is going to occupy the executive office of this country the same way this filthy, moronic George Bush has. Haven't you had enough? If you are so blind in your support of one of these candidates that you are willing to just look past the lies, what the hell is wrong with you? You are the problem with the country, not the filthy candidate who stands there and lies. I don't give a damn if it's Democrat, Republican, Independent. I don't care. You're going to vote for a liar? What the hell is wrong with you? Then vote for him. Vote for her. And don't come back bitching when they lie you into a war. How dare you? That's what I'm sick of.
Well, you're a Hillary basher. Oh, well, you're bashing Hillary.
Jesus, God. Bridget writes in, Mike, no matter how many times I tell myself that Cheney's a sociopath, Bush a narcissistic personality disorder, drug addict, and alcoholic, and all Republicans are just totally insane, I still keep expecting someone somewhere to make sense. According to the existential psychology folks, humans are meaning-making creatures. Our primary focus is to make meaning of the chaos in our world. It's like the old adage of, if there is that much blank in a room, there must be a pony in there somewhere. We try to make sense of things. Those of us with at least one cell of empathy in our souls try to understand what it means that there are now 4,000 families in this country who are forever wounded, forever changed, because a young person they loved is gone forever. When we hear cyborgs like Cheney and Bush and little blank, 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 Perino, utter platitudes and worthless non sequiturs, most of us go into total cognitive dissonance. She said, what? I think, Bridget writes, huh? Has to be one of the most common responses for any of us these days. I sometimes feel that my head is spinning, like a scene from The Exorcist. Please, please, will someone speak something resembling truth? With compassion. Maybe I'm one of the gullible masses, but I'm grateful to Obama for at least seeing to that on a fairly regular basis. Can I just go stick my head under the covers until November? Bridget. No, you can't. And I know the question is rhetorical. And last one here, this is from George in Seattle about the attack on Iran that obviously is just, I mean, it's just a question like one of our other emailers said tonight, it's out of our hands now. We have nothing to say about this, nothing, absolutely nothing. Now it's just a matter of sitting back and watching. George writes, Mike, you have to remember the objective of attacking Iran is regime change. Regime change means a ground assault going to Tehran. Anyone who thinks that all Bush is going to do is a few airstrikes on Iran's nuclear facilities and some military bases is a wishful thinking fool. The attack on Iran will be long and bloody for both sides, and it will be our ruination. What are the Democrats waiting for? Bush and Cheney must be impeached now. Yeah, okay. I hear you. Your phone calls. Lobo is calling from Chicago, Lobo, listening to the internet. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, is that you?
No, it's you. Yes, it's me.
How you doing? I didn't get a chance to get to you when I was at Winter Soldier.
Were you were you testifying?
No. I'm too old for that. No, I was there as a member of Vietnam Vets Against War and Veterans for Peace.
Hey, hold on, Lobo. Just hold it right there. Let me do this break, and we'll come back and pick it up. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us, please.
Next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 21 past the hour. We were talking with Lobo in Chicago. All right, Lobo, pick it up.
Yes, sir. I hope you can understand me. I got the flu like everybody else around here lately.
No, you're coming through loud and clear.
Oh, good. Now, we had 100 Iraq Vets Against War testify in front of the media. And we had 200 Iraq Vets Against War were there, and another 600 veterans from Vietnam Vets Against War and Veterans for Peace, and some of us who are in both organizations. And unfortunately, I come back to Chicago, and nobody heard anything about it in the news at all, which wasn't surprising, but it is irritating. After all this time, we just got to 4,000 on the official count, which is low, killed in action. And then we have the fifth-year anniversary of this ridiculous occupation. The war was over in less than 3 weeks, and we're into 5 years of this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win an occupation. And I was on the point most of the time at the entrance to the National Labor College, the entrance road, checking vehicle. It wasn't open to the public, and Dennis Kucinich was the only one in Congress that showed up. I wasn't surprised to see him. I was a little disappointed he was the only one. And we had press there, media there from Germany, Japan, Italy, Romania, England, Australia, everywhere.
But you didn't happen to see Wolf Blitzer, did you?
Not at all.
Yeah. No, you didn't have to see Brian Williams or Katie Couric, did you?
Oh, absolutely not.
No, uh-uh.
I wasn't surprised at that, but I was just, I got to tell you, when you talk about going into Iran on the ground, you already have, people don't realize, we have guys who signed up in the Air Force that are on the ground with an M-16 in the desert, humping in the sand.
That's right.
We've got regular sailors. I'm not talking about corpsmen working with Marines. We got regular sailors who are humping it on the ground with an M-16.
Mm-hmm.
We have a member of Iraq Vets Against War here in Chicago who was in the Coast Guard and was over at a port there in Iraq while he was on duty in the Coast Guard. Where are we going to get these people? And 15 months in a combat zone and multiple tours of duty, nobody is coming back in one piece. Mentally, their souls are just... This is ridiculous, and this is an everyday thing with me, and I'm working with these young brothers and sisters, I call them, but they're really like my own kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I just wanted to call in and see. I was, unfortunately, I couldn't get to a computer. I got to stream you here in Chicago at night, So I couldn't pick up if you heard any news from there at all.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it. We gave the websites, IVAW.org, warcomeshome.org, for people who have not seen or did not see on C-SPAN. That's the only place it was carried. Well, no, it wasn't. It was not C-SPAN, excuse me. It was carried on Free Speech TV. And I watched it, not this past weekend, the weekend before, and we talked about it and said, come on, everybody watch this. I don't know how many people did, but you can still see those videos, I'm sure, at IVAW.org or warcomeshome.org if people want to go, or go to YouTube and just type in Winter Soldier and you'll get it. But, you know, I don't know, Lobo. I don't know if people, so people watch it. So then what?
Well, they just have to understand. I mean, we had some. These are the heroes. They talk about heroes. We had some guys there who were at the original Winter Soldier and testified in 1971 in Detroit. But these guys who talk now. I had a guy come up to me one night at Thanksgiving of 05 at Camp Casey, from talking to me about something he hadn't talked about what happened to him in Korea in 1951.
Oh my God.
54 years later, so these kids are so raw. You know, we're talking about experiences they had last year, two, three, 4 years ago, and I'm hoping this will help them to try to recover some of the humanity and all that was taken from them. But people have to understand that this is just, while it directly is killing them, especially with the depleted uranium and all, it's killing this nation.
I
don't understand how people can go on day to day and not pay any attention to this. And they need to demand. They're having a media, what do they call that, media forum again in Minneapolis this summer. They have a yearly deal, media reform or whatever it's called, a big gathering. And we got to demand that this stuff gets covered and that people pay some attention to it. Before it's too late for everybody here, this is insanity.
I hear you. All right, Lobo, thanks. I appreciate what you have
to say.
All right,
take care of yourself. Thanks for listening to me. I appreciate it. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lobo.
I'll keep it lit, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. And check out some of this testimony if you think you can handle it. I had a hard time handling it. You know, when you see your sons and your daughters sitting there. You know, Americans, your sons or your daughters sitting there talking about this stuff, and you realize that there are only very few people who even care anymore. It's just, oh, God. Oh.
Baby, you're lost. I'm tired of fighting.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
Yeah, Rational World, Reality Radio, please. That used to be true. A couple of emails back to your phone calls from Prairie 2. Mike, when you look at the damage the Clintons did in the 90s, they drove enough Democrats and independents away with NAFTA to allow the Republicans to take over Congress. And then they rubber-stamped every anti-American, pro-corporate nonsense Newt and company could pass. It doesn't seem a stretch that what they are now about is simply the destruction of the Democratic Party. Why should we be surprised that, unable to win the presidency, they would seek to deny it from any other Democrat? Kim in Kansas City writes, Mike, I have to admit, having had a strong crush, at least intellectually, on Hillary when Bill was president, I always felt that but for Hillary, Bill would have been one of those used car salesmen on TV. Honest Bills, or maybe Mayor of Las Vegas. But I loved Hillary, certain that she was the brains behind Bill, the one with the ambition that overcame Bill's I'm so special slovenliness. Sadly, Kim writes, that embarrasses me now, and I hate that. She has shown that her ambition supersedes honesty and morality, that she has no limit to the depths she will dive into, the muck she will dwell in, the sewage she will swim in, if only she, in the end, reaches the finish line first. This is not the woman I once admired. The mask has fallen from the Empress, and the snakes have become visible in her eyes. So sad. Ooh, Kim, Jesus. And I got a couple more here that I may not be able to get to tonight from Donald in Augusta and Ron, who's still lost in PA, but I'll get to them. Back to your phone calls. Who is next? Todd is calling from Coconut Grove, listening on WINZ. Todd, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I had tried to reach you once before. You had the same question. Why? Why is she doing this or what have you? I only want to bring up, before he was elected the first time, to prove his manhood, he ran back to Arkansas and had executed a, I believe it was a black man who had a mental disorder.
Ricky Ray Rector, yeah.
Okay. Well, my contention is that they'll do anything to get elected. That's why, to answer your rhetorical question.
I guess that's the case. There are some people who are so driven. This is the thing that really intrigues me about George W. Bush. He didn't want to be president. Somebody said, look, George, all I have to do is don't do anything. We'll make sure you get there. George Bush wanted to be the baseball commissioner.
Yeah.
And has the mental acuity for that job and the presence for that job and the sense of global intrigues for that job. He should have been the baseball commissioner. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, along with Bill, they lust for this power. Jesus, God. I mean, it is naked lust. It is embarrassing to watch all of a sudden.
Yeah, I agree. Good luck, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Todd. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Douglas is calling from Sacramento, listening to KSAC. Hey, Doug.
Michael, good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
So here we are, stoking each other's euphoria again.
Yeah, really.
I had some thoughts about why they're both doing this. Besides Hillary's disorder, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
I think we're back to my favorite topic, which is media marketing. They were the first ones to really do a Republican-style campaign and get anywhere with it in the Democratic Party, and I think they just they're going to keep doing that until they die. I think somebody came up with a focus group about that they could get points by sandbagging Obama that way. So mm-hmm. Bill went out there and did it.
I you may be right, but I don't have heroes. I believe a hero is nothing but a sandwich. But it's just. Oh, God, think of a word. Appalling. Oh, I hate that word. It's appalling to me that the Clintons would do this. Now, a lot of people who are much more politically hip and aware than I am chuckle and laugh and giggle and hoot and snort when I say something like that because they say, what are you talking about? But they've always been this way. Okay, maybe so. But I chose to put the blinders on. I chose to believe that Bill Clinton would make a good president. Now, I have the 90s to look at and say, holy jumping Jesus, he was not a good president. He was anything but a good president. But it leaves me in the situation now where in order to criticize them, I've always felt like I had to align myself with scum, pond scum, human waste like Limbaugh and Larry Klayman and the Arkansas Project and Richard Mellon Scaife and all those people who spent 8 years destroying the Democratic Party. Now, they had help because the Democrats didn't fight back. But that's why it's difficult for me to be just openly, blatantly critical of the Clintons up until recently here is because I felt like I'd be aligning myself with scum and filth and these bastards who did so much to destroy this country back in the 90s. And I'm not talking about the Clintons.
Oh, I know. I'm right there with you. I mean, I wanted to believe. In fact, I did believe in them for a long time. I don't have your probably close knowledge of those other media people, but I followed what was happening to them, and I disagreed with all of it.
Yeah.
And of course, they were. They have you noticed all the crap they took in all the years they were in office? None of it has anything to do with anything they actually did wrong.
You're right.
That's coming out now.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's because, in my opinion, the things they did do that were hideously wrong, like NAFTA, was the kind of stuff that Republicans support.
Corporatist.
Yeah, the corporatist. You're absolutely right. This is the part I don't get. I do get it, but it took a while for this to sink in. These filthy vermin went after the Clintons when the Clintons were doing Bill Clinton was doing exactly what the vermin wanted. But they wanted to destroy the system so thoroughly and so completely that Americans would just shake their heads, throw their hands up in the air, say to hell with it, it's somebody else's game. What they didn't count on was somebody like Barack Obama, regardless of his position. His positions may be exactly the same as Hillary's, and I've said that. The only difference between the two is around the edges. But what Barack Obama does is inspire people to believe that maybe we don't have to have our political system in this damn sewer.
There's more to it than that, though.
Yeah? What?
You see, the corporatists trust the Clintons more because that's where their money comes from. That's not where Barack Obama's money comes from.
Well, that's true, too.
And you will never get an anti-corporatist agenda through any kind of media consultant.
Right. You're right.
So that's just because that's who they are. That's who they live with.
Mm-hmm.
All
right. Well,
I think you will be sandbagged if you try. They'll take your money, they'll mount a campaign, and they will lose it for you.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Douglas. I appreciate what you had to say. Ben is calling from Winnipeg, Canada. Hey, Ben.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to be on your show again. You were asking earlier tonight about the candidates if there was nobody left to turn to in the Democratic Party, and maybe apart from Dennis Kucinich, which is train has left the station, I would believe, for this election. I would say no, clearly no. Who I would favor really very much right now would be Cynthia McKinney, who has left the Democratic Party and is member of the Green Party now and is running for president, and she does not get anywhere near the publicity that she would deserve or need, which I think is a good example once again for the corporate media, how they try to steer in that election process.
Well, I hear you, and on an essential level, I agree with you. I've said before, I've known Cynthia and her father for 20 years. She was my member of Congress, the fourth district here in Georgia. I've sat around, had beers with her. I've gone to political forums with her. I know this woman probably better than any other politician in my experience, except possibly John Lewis. But the problem I have, and it's not a problem, it's just the reality, the reality of politics that a Cynthia McKinney supporter has to face is this. Cynthia McKinney will never be elected president. And it's not because people like me don't support her. Of course I support her. If she's on the ballot here on the Green Party, I may vote for her. But it's simply because we do not live in a society or a political system that gives an opportunity to true liberals to step out and get the support that they need to get elected. I feel like I'm part of the problem by even saying that. But that is the truth.
Yes, I think so. I think people like Cynthia McKinney and also Ralph Nader are a very essential part of the democratic process.
Well, I do too, but the only way that I can think of a Cynthia McKinney or a Ralph Nader or a Dennis Kucinich could ever exert any kind of power would be in a coalition forming government, which requires a parliamentary system, which we will never have in this country because we have pissed away what we had. We have given it away to corporate America, and they are not going to relinquish it.
ever. It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the group tonight. Bridget Wolf, Bob Alexander, Chris in Minnesota, Ben Birch, Billy Foster, and Ian Huff, along with the Overlord, Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Thanks to everybody for the production of the program tonight. And once again, if you are not a founding member of Nova M Radio, please become one. It's very important. Go to NovaMRadio.com and check it out. Rich is calling from Portland, Oregon, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm getting by. How are you?
Well, hey, be not discouraged. You know, we've got to follow the advice we've been offering to the Green Party for years, and we got to rebuild from within. You know, we've got to start from the bottom up. I mean, if it's Hillary, she's our monster. If it's Obama, you think he's a bag of wind, he's our bag of wind. Get out there, vote, and let's build it up from the ground up.
Well, I hear you. I just wish that we Americans could get a little bit more interested in our system of self-government. We have shown over the past 30 years we don't care, and as a result of that vacuum, the right wing, the corporatists have moved in, and we are so close to losing the entire thing. If we don't get it together and come back with an idea of representative government that means something, with leaders who personify liberal politics, all this a country has ever done that has resulted in progress or a forward movement has come because of liberal ideas. I don't know why the American public can't get that through their heads, except for the fact that the word liberal has been turned into the same word as, oh, I don't know, whore, or Hitler, or no offense to sex workers, of course, Hitler, or Stalin, or death, or murder. The only word, politically speaking, that has any meaning now at all is the word liberal. And Americans just can't seem to understand that. So, well, go ahead. I'm sorry, Rich.
Much to the chagrin of my family and co-workers and acquaintances, I've become what Hunter S. Thompson would call a political junkie, and a cheerleader for people getting active and reclaiming, you know, the government for sure. We the people, and not being this alien entity out there that we have to get rid of or shrink or something. We have to embrace it and make it work for us, and that's what people have to remember. So keep your spirits up.
But do you think that's going to happen? Rich, give me something to believe in tonight. I've got enough doubts of my own. Tell me something you believe in. Are we going to – is it going to come back? The system that got us up to a point, of course, the point's been trashed for the past 30 years, but is it going to come back, you think?
I have faith in people, and I think if people get kicked around enough, they're going to have to stand up and say, hey, no more of this.
But when people get kicked around enough, they start to believe that the only thing they can ever see is the heel of a boot.
Well,
unless they're willing to take up weapons and have an armed revolution, and that's not going to happen in this country, and it shouldn't, probably.
Well, the thing that really discourages me is hearing these adamant Hillary supporters, and I think
there's not that many out there, or the adamant Obama supporters saying stuff like, well, you know, if it's going to be the other person, I'm not going to vote.
Yeah, I'll vote for McCain. I understand.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
I understand. I'm
Please
but
no.
But, you know, on the other hand, I've said it on this program tonight, I'm so close to that. I am so close to that. I don't support Hillary or Obama. I believe in the idea that we've got to have somebody who will fix what the past 30 years of mismanagement in government has handed us. And I don't see, I certainly don't see Hillary Clinton doing that. I don't know about Barack Obama. I can't see him doing it. McCain is just George Bush's third term. I don't know. I don't know.
I can see Obama, you know, he's a highly intelligent person, and I think he knows his weaknesses. He's going to be surrounding himself with, you know, if he can get Edwards into the mix. The big complaint people had against Edwards was, well, he was a little too bitchy, you know, and he was just a little too fussy. But you get him in there in the background, attorney general or something, kicking around, raising a little hell, get some people in there, and then just all of us, all your listeners, we just got to keep on our relatives and friends and coworkers, no matter how irritated they get, mm-hmm. and keep reminding them that you got to get out there and take this thing back. If it takes it from the bottom up, you know, don't get discouraged. We got to go out, support our local people, you know, our congressmen, our senators, get some liberals in there, progressives, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. Democrats, and take it over from the ground up. If we got that kind of pressure coming from the bottom, whoever is president is going to have to respond. If we have the legislative branch throwing up the kind of legislation that we want to see, if it's a Democrat in the White House, how are they going to turn that down?
Well, I hear you. Rich, thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. I just honestly believe at this point, not honestly believe, but pretty much believe, that McCain ought to be given the presidency. And the House and the Senate ought to be given to Democrats with a veto-proof majority in both houses. And then we'll find out. Because then, with veto-proof majorities in both houses, the presidency becomes superfluous. Cheney has tried to turn the legislative branch into a non-entity that has no power whatsoever, and he's damn near succeeded. But give McCain the presidency. Give it to him. And put the Democrats in charge of the legislative branch, and then if the Democrats don't respond, we pick them off one at a time, politically speaking, and replace them with liberals. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.